Hello, storytellers and creatives, and welcome to the Write Script Reviews. This is episode 13, season 1, and today we're going to be talking about Selena, the series, part 1, episode 1, Daydream. And I'm sure most of you know about the backstory behind this series. It's about the late Tejano singer, Selena Quintanilla, and about her life, her rise to fame, the struggles that she and her family had to go through in order to get success, everything they went through, and it was very well put together. And what I loved about it the most is that it really showed the struggle more so than the movie did. I mean, not to say that the movie didn't show any struggle at all, but we saw the struggles even more so. We saw the struggles with them financially, economically, everything like that. Even when it came to just pursuing the career in music and entertainment, they literally had to start from the bottom up. Which explains why the family was so close-knit, why Selena was so humble, and that's something that we see in the very beginning. So it starts off at the height of Selena's career in 1994, and she's arriving in Chicago, and the crowd is going crazy. And her sister Suzette is like, "Selena, come on, let's get ready, come on." And Selena just looks nervous. She's like, "No, I can't do this." And Suzette is like, "What do you mean? You already told the record company yes, it's done." And what they're referring to is that Selena went her whole career, even before her career, when she was just a little girl, she had always been in the band with her family, with her brother AB, with her sister, Suzette, and of course the father, Abraham, was their manager, or still is at the time. I don't think that ever changed. And of course the mother, Marcella, she had a role. I think she might have helped Selena with the outfits and the costume design and everything like that. So it's always been a family act. It was never really any outside people unless the whole family approved. But now she's at the point in her career where she's doing a crossover album. She's gonna have a whole new band, and she feels like she's betraying her family in a way. And then her brother, AB, is like, "Look, Selena, you're just scared." And she's like, "No, I can't do this without you guys." And Suzette is like, "Come on, girl. How many times have we talked about an English record? Forever. We've been dreaming about it since we were sleeping on the floor at Uncle Hector's house. And now we get to do it." And remember, sleeping on the floor at Uncle Hector's house, remember that, because it'll show you that they really came from humble beginnings, which also makes them more likable as characters. And then Selena's like, "I think about being on tour, and then I'm on stage, and I turn around, and y'all aren't behind me." And Suzette's like, "Okay, then look off to the side some. I'll be there in the wings on the bus to tell you, move your butt, we're gonna be late." And AB is like, "Okay, and I'll be working on songs for our next record together. You're not losing us." And then that puts her more at ease and she feels better. And then she performs their favorite, well, not their favorite song, the public's favorite song, Como la Flor. And then we flash back to 1971 in Lake Jackson, Texas. And that's the year Selena was born in the hospital. And I love how they put together all these things about the family and about Selena that we had no idea about. How the mother and father, Marcella and Abraham, at first thought that Marcella had a tumor. The doctor or the first doctor they went to couldn't tell that she was pregnant. He thought it was a tumor, and then they got a second opinion, and it turned out she was pregnant with their third child. And they're trying to come up with a name, and then they decide to name her Selena. And Abraham goes to the nearby gift shop and looks up the meaning of the name Selena, and it means goddess of the moon. And then fast forward to the year 1978. And Selena is 7 years old, and then we see Abraham in the kitchen trying to teach AB how to play the guitar, and it's a struggle at first because he's new. It's a new instrument. And Marcella's cooking and everything like that, and then all of a sudden they hear singing. They hear somebody singing, and at first they think it's the radio, but it's Selena singing as she's running around in the yard chasing, what do they call it? Lightning bugs in jars. And she's so innocent. She's 7 years old. She's just singing. And it's at that moment that Abraham realizes that Selena has a talent, an extraordinary gift. And at that point, that's when it all begins. He tries to teach her different old school songs, like the song Feelings. And Selena knows how to sing it and hit all the notes, but there's really no emotion there at that point because keep in mind, she's seven. That type of song is about a person experiencing extreme heartbreak, losing the love of their life. So at that point, she's not really able to feel the lyrics emotionally. At that point, it's just calling words almost. And then Abraham ends it. He's like, okay. And she's like, well, Dad, what did I do wrong? And he's like, nothing. The notes are good. You're just, it's about love, baby, how you had it and then you lost it. And at that point, Marcella's like, Abraham, she's 8 years old. She doesn't know about love yet. And Selena's like, I know about love. I love you. I love Dad. I love Suzette. I even love AB. And Abraham's like, no, it's a different kind of love. Then Marcella goes even further and says, like your father and me, that kind. I can't explain it, but you meet someone and now it feels like there's a fist around your heart. And if someone was to take that away, it would feel like they're taking your whole heart away. Like that. And at first, Selena takes it literally, like they're ripping her heart out of her chest. And she's like, I don't want that. And they're like, oh, you will. For now, you just copy how I do it. And then one day it will make sense. And then they eat dinner together as a family. And that's when Abraham makes a big announcement. And he says, so I was thinking, if Selena likes to sing and AB is learning bass, I could be on guitar and we could all have fun playing together. You know, for relatives at parties maybe. And Suzette, let me just say about Suzette. Suzette cracks me up because she's a little bit different from Selena. Like, she'll speak her whole mind. Not that Selena won't, but Suzette is more like, she will let you know how she feels, no filter. No filter at all. She's like, how come? And Abraham's like, because playing music is a privilege and it gave me some of the best times of my life and I want you to have that too. And AB is like, oh, but cousin Jesse went home and he was the one playing drums. And Abraham's like, yeah, but the drums are still here waiting for someone to play them. And he looks at Suzette, and that right there is subtext, because he's not blatantly saying, Suzette, play the drums. He's hinting, like, waiting for someone to play them, and the audience is able to get it. And Suzette is like, no, Dad, no. And Abraham's like, it'll be fun. It's just for family, mijita. And Suzette is like, no, I don't want to play drums. Girls don't play drums. And in all fairness, Suzette did have a point. She wasn't wrong about that. Back in those days, you have to remember, it was the 70s. So people looked at playing the drums as a masculine thing. Even being in like a band at the time, it was almost a masculine thing. It wasn't like, oh yeah, a bunch of female stars playing the drums. And Suzette is like, no, I don't want to be different. I don't want to be like unique. I want to follow the crowd. I don't want to stand out. But what she doesn't realize is she's going to be a real role model for girls coming up behind her as the first female drummer. Well, not the first, but one of the more celebrated ones. And Selena's like, Sheila E. plays the drums.
And Suzette's like, okay, then get Sheila E. Mom. And Marcella's like, look, maybe if you tried, it might be fun. And of course, Suzette loses that argument. Then we fast forward to 1980, and Selena and her siblings play at the restaurant owned by the parents. And at that point, it's important to note that they had always been business-minded. They had always been entrepreneurs, wanting to do their own thing, be their own boss. They were definitely not the corporate America 9-to-5 type of family. And then it's at that point where everything drastically changes for the family, and the news plays a snippet about the state of the economy. And the announcer says, in other news, many Americans are feeling the tough effects of the economy. Tonight, further facts are coming in, indicating that the U.S. is going into a recession. Recent government reporting reveals that the GDP plummeted during the second quarter of this year. Economists are predicting that the jobless rate is only going to get worse. So, question, how does that tie in to Selena and her family? Good question. Remember, they own a restaurant. And if they're going into a recession, that means a large percentage of Americans, especially people in their town or city, don't have money like that to be eating out like they once did. Because think about it. Eating out is really a privilege, a treat. It's not really supposed to be something you do every single day. So when people do it, they were doing it like, okay, I have a few extra bucks to spend. Let me go out to eat. Let me get some tacos, some Mexican food, right? But if you're in a recession and now all of a sudden you're somebody who's losing your job, you don't have income coming in like that, and you're dependent on the government, the last thing you're thinking about is eating out. So that's how it messed them up and caused them to lose their restaurant. And we see Marcella talking to Abraham, and she's like, are you worried people are going to stop coming to the restaurant? And Abraham is like, already seeing a half-empty restaurant on our good nights anyway. And what I like about Abraham is that he is the definition of a breadwinner, masculine man, proud, very assertive, take charge. He's the type of man that will do right by his family. Great husband, great father, very loving, very caring. And the last thing he wants is a government handout. Now, remember what I said in the beginning about how this really showed the struggle more so than the movie back in the 90s that starred J-Lo as Selena. Because this showed that they had to actually go on welfare, that they actually had to move in with family for a while before they got stable again. And they really had to almost eat crow before they could get back to quote-unquote normal. And Marcella's on the phone with her mother, and she's like, I don't know, Mommy. People just stopped coming to the restaurant. Mommy, I think we're going to lose the restaurant, but we're going to be fine. Yeah, I'm sure. And then the restaurant goes out of business. Then the year 1981. Abraham, Marcella, and Selena go to the welfare office. And at first, you know, Selena's still relatively young. She's too young to really understand what's really going on. And you can tell that Abraham is like, no, this doesn't happen to people like me. I'm a hardworking man. I don't want the government feeding my family. I'm a man, dang it. I can take care of myself and my kids and my wife. This is horrible. I failed as a man. So you can tell that this is really hard for him, and it makes us sympathize with him even more. And then a woman notices Selena, and she's like, hey, I know you. You're that little girl who sings at Papagayo's. And at that point, Abraham is embarrassed because he doesn't want people to recognize them and be like, oh, they're applying for welfare too. And then he's like, sorry, wrong room. And we all know they're not in the wrong room, but That's the lie he tells to make it seem like, oh, this is the welfare office. Oh, no. We meant to go in a different room. And Marcella is like, Abraham. And Abraham's like, wrong room, let's go. And he's rushing out of the courthouse, and Marcella and Selena go after him. And Marcella's like, Abraham, come back. You don't have to be embarrassed. And Abraham's like, my family on food stamps? If I wasn't embarrassed, there would be something wrong with me. And Marcella tries to level with him. She's like, you're proud. I know that. But right now, forget about proud. Let's just feed our family, okay? And Abraham reluctantly gives in, and he's like, okay, fine. You know, kind of the attitude of, I'll go along with it, but I don't like it, right? And we can all relate to that, you know, like going on unemployment, going on welfare, food stamps. You know, most people really don't want to be on it, if they're honest like that, unless they're scamming the government. But hardworking, upstanding families, that's the last thing they want to do, right? And Abraham ends up taking Suzette and AB to the grocery store late at night, and you can tell he's still embarrassed about the food stamps, because think about it, this is why I say subtext is important. They're going at night. Why are they going at night when nobody's in the store? I'll tell you why. He doesn't want people to see him at the register paying for stuff with food stamps and or like WIC money. I don't know the difference, but you know what I mean. And Abraham talks to his kids, and he's like, listen, there's no shame in taking help sometimes. Now, I've worked hard, I've paid my taxes, so the government can help us when we need it. No shame in that, right? And they nod, like, yeah, no shame, Dad. And he's like, good, now go check out, I'll see you in the car. Which, subtext still, he's telling them not to be embarrassed, but yet he doesn't go check out. He just gives them the stamps to check out. And Suzette is like, Dad, wait, what? And then they rehearse in the garage. And Abraham notices that they're all off key. They're all off kilter. And they're not really going with the flow of the music or following the notes. And he plays them the song from his old band, Los Dinos. And he wants them to recognize the different instruments in the song, the guitar, the drums, the bass. And Suzette gets really frustrated, like, no, Dad, I don't understand, okay? I don't hear the drums. I just don't. And Abraham's like, look, the music is the separate parts all playing together, but also each one of you listening to whatever else is playing. The drummer is the heart of the band. If it gets just a little bit off kilter, then you're in trouble. And then we see them playing a gig at a nursing home, elderly people, right? And in the middle of their session, the guy pays Abraham early, and he's like, wait, why are you paying me now? And the guy is like, I'm so sorry, but I think the residents were expecting something a little different. And Abraham tries to overcompensate. He's like, we can do different. We can change it up. And the guy is like, no, it's taken care of. And then they have to stop in the middle of their performance. And Selena is confused. She's like, how come we had to stop? And Abraham tries to shelter her from the truth. He's like, Mija, they had to go to bed. They're old. And Selena looks in the window and sees that the next guest has them dancing to disco. And Selena sees the truth that they got replaced. And AB is like, yeah, we got replaced by a record player. And Abraham's like, I know, you sounded great though. Best it's ever been. And Suzette is like, yeah, Dad, because we practice it all the time. And Abraham's like, I know, but if you keep practicing, it's all going to pay off. Just watch. Do you trust your father? And Selena is like, yes. And then fast forward, 6 months later, they have to move away to live at Uncle Hector's, and all the kids are sad, and it's relatable because think about it. When you're a kid or even a teenager, you're used to your neighborhood, the house, the school, your friends, right? You know everyone. And then you get nervous about having to meet new people, make new friends, and you get fearful. Like, what if I don't like it? What if I don't like my school? What if I don't make any friends? And Selena's like, We were going to go on a field trip next week. We were gonna ride on a bus. And Marcella tries to calm them down, and she's like, I bet you can ride on a bus at your new school, and your cousins go there, so you have people you know. And Suzette is like, well, what about me? I don't. All my friends are here. What am I supposed to do in Corpus Christi? And Abraham's like, make the best of it, just like the rest of us. We're lucky we have family there. My brothers and sisters, they don't want to see us unhappy. And Suzette's like, I wasn't unhappy. And Abraham's like, they're trying to help. That's what family does, and I'm grateful for it. Understand? I know you guys don't like this, but this is how it has to be. Do you trust your father? And they all say, yeah. And, Abraham's a really good leader, really good head of the household, really good at getting them back in line. And AB is like, are we really gonna fit in the same house with all the cousins and everyone? And Abraham's like, he says that he has a place that we can stay in for now, just us. It's gonna be good. And then it turns out to be an old garage with junk in it. And what I like about Marcella, most of the time she doesn't fight Abraham on things, but at this point, that's when Marcella put her foot down, and she hardly ever does that. But when she saw that dirty garage with junk in it, and Abraham was like, okay, this will be our place where we stay. Marcella was like, no. And Abraham was like, Marcella, she was like, Abraham, no. No. And you could tell in her tone, she was like, you are not going to have my babies sleeping in this garage. Like, that is where I draw the line. And then they end up going into Uncle Hector's extra bedroom, all of them. So think about it. Five of them: Abraham, Marcella, AB, Suzette, Selena. They're all squeezed in, all five of them in one bedroom, right? And then we see Abraham and his brother Hector, and you can tell they have different views on everything. Abraham is more ambitious about following his dreams, whereas Hector is more practical, like, just get a secure 9-to-5 job. Don't worry about trying to break into a competitive industry. Just focus on getting money now. And it's a strong contrast. And you can tell that Abraham's priority is the band. And Hector is like, come on, man, I can get you a job driving trucks. And as we all know, driving trucks is stable, but then Abraham knows that it would take away from him focusing and managing the band. And Abraham is like, look, my Selena can sing. I drive a truck, I drive another truck, and I drive another truck. In 10 years, I'm still driving a truck, or in 10 years, she's a star. She's not me. She's going places, whatever it takes. And then Hector's like, I might know a guy. His daughter's getting married, so he gives him a potential gig. And Abraham reaches out to the father of the bride, and he's like, we can play Tejano music and pop. How does that sound? And they get the gig, and then Abraham wakes up AB, and he's like, come on, we're gonna go get some lights. And this is a very interesting scene. I love this scene so much because it shows the struggle. And I always tell you guys, do not be afraid to show that they had to struggle at some point. Don't think that you have to create these perfect characters who never hit a bump in the road, made a mistake, because if you do that, they're not going to be relatable to people. Because the truth is, life is not a straight line. Life is full of ups and downs, highs and lows, peaks and valleys. So you have to show reality. You have to show something unique that will make people go, wow, they went through that? Look at all that hard work. It wasn't just given to them. They really had to show and prove and stay consistent and disciplined, right? And in turn, that makes you love them even more. And AB is all excited, thinking they're going to go get like really expensive, high quality lights. And he's like, new lights? Yeah, Dad, this is what I've been saying. We need to step up, get a real lighting package so we look professional, plus bigger amps, bigger speakers, so we can play at bigger places. And during the whole car ride, Abraham is silent at that point. Subtext, you will see. And they've been driving for a good little minute, and Abraham's like, Dad, so how far are we going for these lights? And Abraham's all vague and evasive. He's like, not far. And AB is like, why are we at Luby's? And Abraham's like, oh, we're gonna eat first. And then they're outside behind the restaurant, standing in front of the dumpster, and they have peach cans, and then he's like, peach cans, number 4 and number 9. And AB's like, what? Dad, you said we were buying lights. And Abraham's like, we don't have money to buy lights. Besides, my buddy says they throw these out every day. With these and the others, we'll make our own lights. And AB is like, the others in the dumpster? Dad, why do I have to go in? And Abraham's like, I was in the army. What have you done? And AB's like, I wasn't the one who told the guy we were going to buy lights. And Abraham has no mercy. He's like, look, sometimes that's how you have to do it. When you jump out of a plane without a parachute, you better make one or else. It's called a leap of faith. And AB's like, no, it's called a dumpster dive. And Abraham's like, whatever, now get in there. I want to go home. It's cold. Go. And then they show the montage of them making the lights from scratch. Now, what did you just learn about them in that moment? When you're poor like that, when you're short on money, when you're struggling financially, it forces you to get very, very creative. You can't just go and buy a bunch of things that most people could get if they were stable. You have to really think outside the box. You have to be creative. They had to use peach cans for lights. I mean, that makes for great writing. And it also helps that it's true. I mean, think about that type of backstory. They were struggling so much that when they got their first gig, they couldn't go and buy lights. So AB had to dumpster dive. They had to go and eat peaches and all that stuff and empty the can and wash them and then decorate them for lighting. I mean, it doesn't get any more real and raw than that. And then we see them performing at the wedding, and they're singing that song, you know, Funky Town, and then they play at a local state fair. And when they're playing at the fair, Mr. Larry pays Abraham, and it's not that much money that they're getting still, even though they're getting, like, little small gigs here and there. And Abraham sees another Tejano band performing, and he sees how the audience responds to them versus when his kids are performing. Because up until now, Selena and her siblings have been playing every song in English, not in Spanish. But yet that Tejano band was playing in Spanish. And that's how you really capture your audience. You play in a way that speaks to them. And Abraham's trying to figure out, what makes these guys so different from my kids? What do they have that my kids aren't doing? And then Marcella is like, honey, times have changed. Music has changed. And she's like, but one thing hasn't changed. All the songs are in Spanish. Spanish is more romantic. Couples need to dance and just fall in love. That's never going to change. And then in the final scene, we see Abraham in the car with Suzette and Selena. And at first, you know, regular American music is playing. And then Abraham changes the radio to Tejano music. And Suzette is like, Dad, no! And Abraham is firm. He's like, you need to learn to sing like that. And Selena's confused. She's like a man? And Abraham's like, no, in Spanish. And you have to remember, even though they're Mexican American. Whereas I think Abraham and Marcella were from Mexico, but then they migrated to America. Whereas Selena, Abraham, Suzette, they were Americanized. That's why you hear Selena in later episodes like, "Oh, Dad, I want to listen to Janet Jackson, Jody Watley, all the other greats." You know what I mean? So that's why she had a love for different musical artists like that. And Selena's like, "I don't know Spanish." And that's why, because she really didn't have a need for it. But Abraham also wants them to be more in tune with where they came from, their culture, their family heritage. And she's like, "But Dad, why do we have to sing in Spanish?" And Abraham is like, "People will pay to hear the music that speaks to them, who they are inside. And the thing about you have it inside you too." And Selena's like, "But Dad, I'm American." And Abraham's like, "And Mexican. My family came from Mexico. You came from me, like a thread, like a tree with the roots over there, but growing here. Both countries, Selena, they come together in you. So you sing in Spanish. You think you can do that?" And Selena is a bit more open than Suzette. Suzette is still like, "No." And Selena is like, "See." You know, so she's already on board with that. And then Abraham's like, "Great. Then we need a new name." And then, final scene, fast forward to 1986. The kids are older now, and now they're getting more gigs, but now they're called Selena y los Dinos. End of episode, right? But yeah, you guys, I think this first episode of part one accurately showed the struggle. I know I keep harping on that, but it wasn't really easy for them to break in. And you have to remember, it was a predominantly male industry too when it came to Tejano singers. Selena really broke through the barriers. She broke through all of it, and she even had to learn Spanish in order to connect with her audience for them to embrace her. So it wasn't an easy road for them by any means. But anyway, you guys, thanks for listening. Like, subscribe to my podcast. Click the link in my bio if you need script coverage for your project. And also click the other link if you want my free ebook, The Character Bio Playbook, so you can learn to create three-dimensional and complex characters for your stories. Anyway, you guys, have a good one, and I'll catch you in the next podcast.